Paranormal Truth and Reality with host Chris Houston. A show for those with a passion for the paranormal. And now, welcome to the show.
Welcome to Paranormal Truth and Reality. I'm your host, Christopher Houston, and we're here with a very special guest, Tyler Feddersen. Tyler has a YouTube channel that is a hit in the paranormal. And Tyler, I really appreciate you coming on. I've watched a lot of your stuff. It's amazing. You've got an incredible video team there. I mean, you do a great job from the intro all the way to explaining the situation. So, welcome.
Thank you. Awesome. I'm excited to be here. Much appreciated.
So tell us a little bit about yourself. How'd you get into the paranormal?
Well, let's see. My journey started probably, I would say, I've always been kind of into, like, you know, creepy stuff. Paranormally, I started getting involved at the age of 16 when I had an encounter. I mean, I was always trying to kind of dive into creepy stuff. I didn't necessarily believe in ghosts. But about the age 16, I saw at my neighbor's house, she was out of town. She asked myself and my brothers to kind of keep an eye on her property, you know, and we felt kind of special and cool to take that on at 16 years old, you know. And so we watched her house for her, quite literally, and we saw an apparition of a man. And this is very unexpected, because at the time, like I said, I didn't necessarily believe in ghosts, although I was into kind of creepy stuff. But seeing that was life-changing, and that's really what sparked it. Is it became from that point, I guess, such a curiosity of, like, why, and, like, I thought that didn't exist. Like, how did I just see that? And so that really is what led me into the paranormal. So
interesting. And of course, you went on the journey from there. When did you decide that you were going to kind of take it on full time and do a YouTube channel and kind of start videoing things?
Well, I'd started watching ghost hunters. I mean, I'm pretty old school in the field, actually. I remember back when the only thing you could watch was pretty much Ghost Hunters and, you know, Most Haunted and some of these older shows. And I really enjoyed, it was really motivating. And when I got together with a team, I really kind of wanted to document evidence. I think everybody does, you know, you want to catch something on video, but every time I would, like, hold a camera or go near a camera, I kind of almost felt like a connection. I was like, I really like this. And, I've also always really liked just making videos in general. So it was like kind of a win-win. I was like, well, I get to, you know, kind of make videos, which I already like doing. And now I get to do it on paranormal. Like, this is really cool. And so I kind of started filming, or got the idea along with this other person to film me, like, a web series. And we're like, well, yeah, let's try it. And this was about 2012. And so we tried it, and it was just like, from that moment forward, there was no turning back. It was like, I loved it. I fell in love with video production. And although my earlier stuff was absolute garbage, it was still, it's part of the learning process. It was super fun. I was also working a job, you know, full time, like everybody else. And I had hopes and dreams of one day, you know, not having to work and being able to do it full time. And I think everybody does. The thing about me is when I set my mind to something, there's no stopping me. And I think the whole time I was just scared to commit to it. You know, nobody wants to be like, oh, I'm going to quit my job and go film YouTube videos. It's just not something that most people even fathom the idea of. It wasn't until last year. So I'd been making videos since about 2012 all the way up till last summer. And I was kind of going through different jobs. I was working as a restaurant manager, and I just was not happy. I mean, there's nothing you could do to convince me that that's where I was supposed to be. And I did a very good job, I believe, at least, doing a lot of the restaurant management stuff. I was, you know, promoted quite a bunch of times. But I just felt like I had more to offer. I felt like it wasn't me. I felt like I should be doing something else to, like, you know, help entertain people and deliver knowledge and you know, I just, so I was like, you know what, I'm going to go for it. And at the time I was changing jobs from a different company and it just wasn't working out. And so I said, you know what, I talked to my wife and my friends and everybody and just decided, you know, I'm going to go full out and just see what happens. And there was no turning back from that point. And now, I mean, I do it 100% full time. That's all I do is just make these YouTube videos, and I get to go to some really cool places, and I couldn't be more happy and grateful, and things keep getting better. And so that's currently where I'm at now.
Well, you're definitely drawing a lot of attention, and you're very professional in your videos. In fact, the last one I just watched was at a location that very few people get a chance to even go into. So we'll probably talk about that a little bit here, along with your other locations. But you know, I was actually quite amazed. I've looked through a lot of YouTube videos. Obviously, doing a radio show, you have to kind of review everybody, and I like to get all kinds and all sorts there. But you have a professional nature about you that I think is going to get you very far. People are going to pay attention to it. So let's talk about your locations a little bit.
Cool.
I know you've been to all kinds of amazing places. Let's just start with one that that you remember the most.
Well, I get asked that a lot, and it's weird. I think I evolve with time. I mean, I remember a lot of them, but it always seems like, you know, I'll pick one and be like, oh, this is the most memorable, the most scary, and then I'll go somewhere else. I'm like, okay, now it's this one. But I think there's always a couple that I think inflict a certain emotion within myself that make them memorable. So, you know, of course, the Washoe Club, I've been there so many times that there's just something about the actual building, the ambience. Not even like, oh, I had the craziest encounter there. I have had some really cool encounters, but it's more or less, it's just like this personal connection. I really like the Washoe Club. And there was one I really connected with out in New York. It's called, what was the name of the place? It's right on the tip of Lake George, Fort William Henry. And that place was really, there was just a special connection. I think it was the first place I ever investigated that was like from the 1700s. Because out west here, I live out in the west side of the United States, and, you know, the history doesn't really predate the 1800s that much. I mean, it does, don't get me wrong, but you don't find a lot of structural history predating the 1800s because it was civilized so much later. So that was really cool one. But I would say, you know, those are two very memorable ones for me, of course, the Washoe Club and Fort William Henry for sure.
I've got a messenger up. I'm testing my messenger for the first time with the show after tech took it down because I had so many flaws with it. But I actually have a question here for you from Carl Bland, believe it or not. He's in the UK. He's actually listening to the show right now. He was just curious, when you go out on your investigations, how often do you get startled by the simplest things and then kind of look at it later and go, oh, well, that was explainable?
All the time. I'm a pretty high-strung personality, so like, you could tell by watching my videos, I bring a lot of energy to the videos, and I also get asked a lot, are you really this way in real life, or is this just a persona? This is 100% me. I'm packed with energy. I bring a lot of that high-strung personality, which isn't for everybody, but that's just me. So, yeah, things will happen, and I'll kind of be like, oh, my God, did you see that? Did you hear that? Blah, blah, blah. And then we'll find out, you know, it was totally explainable, and then I have to kind of bring myself down and, oh, sorry guys, you know. But yeah, all the time that happens to me. That's just my natural reaction to, you know, a noise or something. I don't want to sit here and say I'm scared, but I definitely react to things, probably a little overreacting sometimes, but it's just who I am. So.
Well, I think we all do that a little bit. I know when I tag along on investigations, a lot of times some of the simplest things will startle me, and you have a tendency of being excited about it and overreacting if you're passionate about it, especially. And you do seem to be very passionate about the paranormal. I can tell by, you know, watching your videos, you're very passionate about it. You enjoy what you're doing, and that's a part of it that you should be proud of that.
Thank you. I think a lot of the passion comes from doing just that. The more you chase your passion, the more passion you have for it. And that's kind of a weird phrase, I guess, but I think that's what really helps. It's just like when I have an actual encounter, it makes me more passionate. And so it's just like this never-ending cycle. But that's really kind of what drives my passion is passion. It's weird.
Well, let's talk about those encounters a little bit. I know that every investigator somewhere along the line catches one or two things. And being in some of the locations that you've been in before, because some of them are fairly famous where others aren't as famous, but they are pretty well known to the locals. Obviously, you've ran across a couple of occurrences that that are interesting. Of course, some of them are in the videos, and we'll get to how people can find your videos and your YouTube site here before the end of it. But let's talk on your experience. Tell us a little bit about some of those more unique situations.
Well, gosh, you know, there's two that stand out immediately, and this is kind of the same as the question you asked previously. It's always changing as I go to new locations, but two that recently, this past year, that stand out to me. One was obviously actually the Goldfields Hotel, just capturing an EVP of a woman moaning coincidentally at the room where a very famed spirit of a woman is said to haunt. That one really stands out just because the correlation of the history behind this room, her tragic death, and then capturing like a moaning sound, which to me, I mean, you can interpret it how you want, but I interpret it as almost like a pain or a suffering, like a, you know, when people cry so hard that they're kind of like, like that's kind of what I pick up from this EVP that we captured. And it just so happens it goes hand in hand with a very tragic death of a woman that took place right where I captured that EVP. So that one stands out. That was incredible to me. Another one that I find incredibly interesting was actually an old mining town called Tonopah. And they have this cemetery there. And I was with a good friend of mine. He's also a YouTuber, Cryptid Hunter. He's a good dude. But he was telling me about an investigation he had had previously about a week or two before the investigation we were conducting at the moment. We captured pieces of evidence from his investigation previously that matched questions from our current investigation. We were actually able to pair, like basically he was talking to one spirit and we were talking to another, and we somehow connected them and found out they were basically lovers and that they were buried right next to each other. It was insane. I don't want to give too much away. I think people should go watch the episode of the Clown Motel. If anyone's familiar with my YouTube videos, watch the Clown Motel episode. And it's in that, and it's quite shocking that we found this information. So those two really stand out as far as, I don't want to say they were scary, but they were just so compelling that they stand out to me.
It's amazing how that can happen sometimes when you're out on investigations. I know a lot of investigators get some very unique things, and it's wonderful to watch. You know, I've been in the paranormal for a number of years. I'm not an investigator myself. I'm very upfront about that with everybody. I'm sure you've probably heard of it before if you've ever seen me comment on Facebook and so forth. I'm a researcher. I've done interviews. I've helped promote a lot of people, and I love being a host. It's amazing watching people like you because it takes a lot of work to do what you do. You have to spend a lot of time out there. Then you have to go back into the editing room. You have to double-check your evidence. Then you got to put together something that's very entertaining.
Yeah.
And that can be a task in itself, especially when you want to be truthful about what you're doing as opposed to just faking everything. And a lot of people, I think, a lot of people get the wrong impression by not only YouTube, but a lot of media that's out there. They think that, hey, look, this is too good to be true, but you guys work really, really hard at what you do. You deserve respect for that. You're not out there deliberately trying to fake things. You're out there doing what you enjoy doing.
Amen. Amen to that. That's so true. And it's easy to, you know, there is a lot of fakery that goes on from, you know, little simple. I think the number one thing I encounter is just, you know, the everyday person will come up and bring you a photograph and, you know, hey, my friend sent this to me and there's a ghost in it. Can you take a look? And then you'll look at it and it's clearly, you know, we've all come across this. It's the app. Uh-huh. You can tell, experienced researchers and investigators can tell right off the bat. It's the app, and you'll, you know, you try and deliver that information to the individual, and a lot of the times they get defensive. Well, no, my friend would never lie to me. And well, I don't know what to tell you then, but you know, because of those things, it does make it harder. But that, you know, in this age of technology, I don't ever see that stopping. So it's just something as a researcher and investigator moving forward, you've got to work around and combat anyway. So it is what it is, but you're absolutely right. There is, I think Genuinity is something that my team and I are proud to present when we do release new videos. That's just something that I think we put a stamp on, of just that we're very proud of, that we may overreact in certain situations, but I will never bring you something that I don't personally believe is paranormal. If I believe it to be an evidential thing, and you'll even see that in my videos, I will say, there's a lot of times in my videos where I'll say, I can't for sure say that this is paranormal, but I wanted to present it to you and let you decide for yourself. It's something that we may find interesting, but we can't for sure say, oh yeah, this is paranormal, but we'll let you decide. What do you think? And we like to get the people, the audience involved in that process of the elimination as well. So I think that helps to get multiple opinions.
And you do very well with that. I actually respect that. I've seen you say that a couple of times in your videos. It's very amazing that you kind of take that approach. So I think everybody's going to enjoy it. I do encourage you to go to his YouTube page. Again, we'll go over the YouTube page here before the end of the show so that you can actually watch some of Tyler's videos, because I think, audience, you'll enjoy them. They're very informative. They do have some good history involved in them. He goes to some very unique locations, and they try to mix it up a little bit while they're doing this to make it your show rather than just a bunch of people on air. You recently went to a couple of places that Zach's went to. How did you feel about those places?
Like in comparison to what's presented on Ghost Adventures, or?
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm not going to downtread Zach. I know a lot of people have personal opinions about him. I've met the guy a couple of times myself. He's not a bad guy. I don't promote television shows, but I don't downtread personalities too. But I'm always curious when people go to the same locations as Zach or even Jason or Grant or somebody's been to kind of see what their impressions are on them.
Yeah, I think, and again, this is what's so cool about this field. It's cool. It's good and it's bad sometimes, but I think, we're in a field of opinion, so it differs from person to person. But, I will fully say I do 100% support Zach. I'm not a Zach groupie. I'm not like, oh my God, a huge avid, like hardcore fan. I'm a fan, but I'm not saying that as a fan. I'm saying it as a, I've actually, had the pleasure to spend some time on a set with him, and it was really quite amazing to see the man work. I personally liked his approach to things from a cinematographer standpoint. I did not get to watch him investigate, so I can't make any comments on that. But just from a production side, he's a machine. He's still heavily involved in the productions from my standpoint, and that to me was huge. But going into a location, that he's been to and investigated, I would say the ones that I've been to, they stand pretty true to, some of his encounters. But I really believe that paranormal activity can really vary from person to person, because take me, for example, a high-strung individual, and, let's take Jeff, for example. Jeff's in my videos. Some of you may know him. He's a very laid-back, mellow personality. Not everyone's going to connect with me on the same level, and not everyone's going to connect with Jeff on the same level. And so I think, for the most case, if we're talking to a spirit or a ghost or an entity of an actual person, they may connect with me better than they may connect with Jeff, and vice versa. So maybe, Zach collects more evidence than, say, Jason or Grant, because they're such different personality styles. Maybe the spirits connect with the individual more than the element or surroundings or energy. I don't know. That's just a theory I present, but I know a lot of people have said, that they feel like when they're around me, we capture more, and maybe that's just because my energy level is so presentable. I don't know, but I feel like they hold true for the most part. I mean, I'm sure that there's going to be some variations, but yeah, I've had some good encounters at a lot of the places he's been, so.
No, he's been to some very amazing places, just like Ghost Hunters has been to some very amazing places. When they came up here to the Ohio Reformatory, a lot of people thought that they were faking a lot of things. But I've had the privilege of investigating the Reformatory several times, tagging along with other investigators. And I can tell you, kind of the same situation, though it's a bit of a different style. A lot of what they picked up, you can pick up there. It's a very unique place to go to. And you brought up something very, very interesting that I want to go into in a little bit more detail, and that's paranormal occurrence. It is different with everybody else. I have an investigator on, Thomas. Thomas has been investigating for 20 years on Ohio and Cincinnati, Cleveland. He's been doing some things in Indiana, but he fully agrees with you. He wanted to tell you he supports you 100% when you're saying something like that, because you can go into a location. And, for instance, if I go into a location, I may not get anything. But then you go into that location and you pick something up, because paranormal activity is not something that comes at a call. It sometimes it's there, sometimes it's not. Sometimes it reacts to certain people, sometimes it doesn't.
That's so true. So true.
So, well, let's talk about your equipment a little bit. I know that you deal with a lot of equipment similar to every investigator. Is there anything unique that that you think works better than another piece of equipment?
Yeah, you know, we are, it's funny you ask that. I was a pretty big equipment guy in the previous years. You know, I wanted everything that you could get your hands on. It's where now I actually got rid of a lot of equipment, and I stick to really EVPs and object movement. I mean, I do use a couple of ITC apps, you know, that I have had insane luck with, and maybe others don't, and maybe it is coincidental evidence that we're presenting, who knows, but to me these ITC devices seem to be unique to the investigation. So until they're proven otherwise, I will probably continue to use them. But I'm really, really big on EVP and object movement, because I believe those are the most concrete forms of evidence that you can present at this point with our technology and the day and age that we're in. EVP is such a sound piece of evidence to present, because, you know, it's the obvious. If you're in a room with only two people and you're both, let's say, for example, female or male, and you capture the opposite sex on recorder and none of you heard it, I mean, that's, you know, especially when you capture an intelligent response to a question, I think that's something that's incredibly credible. And then the other one being object movement, when you can see something with your own eyes, I feel very comfortable presenting that to someone rather than a K2 strike. Don't get me wrong, I'll use a K2 here and there, but I just believe object movement is such a credible thing too. So one thing that we've been using, and I know some people in the UK have started doing it because they've seen some of my videos, but using a fidget spinner as a form of communication, just because if you think about the concept, it's, you know, I get a lot of people actually laugh at me too. Whatever, that's fine. I'm in the business of trying to prove the existence of paranormal, and if that's a way to do it, I'm going to try. But I believe it's a good way, and here's why. You are constantly asking, right, you know, is anybody here? Can you show yourself? Do you have the energy to touch this device? Do you have the energy to do this? Well, do you have the energy to spin this ball bearing system? I mean, it sits on a ball bearing and it rests freely, and it's designed to just spin in circles freely at very, very easily, mind you. So if they could put enough energy to move a door, why couldn't they spin a spinner, right? I mean, it's just something new that maybe they haven't seen before, because if you go into some of these haunted locations, let's say, for example, Ohio State Reformatory, if the spirits are intelligent, they've probably seen the K2 meter so many times they can't even think straight. They've probably seen a digital recorder so many times they can't think straight. What if someone comes in with this fidget spinner and they're like, yo, what is this thing? You know? And then I actually do explain a lot of times during an investigation, you know, this is the year 2017. This is really a child's toy. Even adults play with it. It's called a fidget spinner. This is what it does. And we want to see if you can use it to communicate with us. It sounds silly, but here's how it works. And I'll explain it to them. And I think that might spark a form of interest. And while I can't say we've had a huge success, there were a couple times, two or three, where we have captured it slightly moving on its own. But I have yet to see it spin in like full circles, you know, but I have seen it move on its own. And we've done a lot of wind tests with it, put it out in the environment, the elements. We've blown on it. We've tried all kinds of stuff to see what could cause it to move on its own. And you know, unless there's a huge gust of wind, we just haven't found anything yet. And of course, it depends on the spinner as well. But so yeah, that's the one thing we've been using. So
well, that's actually a unique idea that I don't think anybody's used yet. It's always good to use haunted places and key objects. I know a lot of people go for the standard key objects. That's a ball or a toy, you know, mm-hmm. things along those lines. You know, a fidget spinner, especially if you get a steel one, if you get a good heavy one that's not one of the cheap plastic ones, if you can get that to move, that's pretty substantial, especially if it moves solidly, just like somebody sitting there spinning with it.
Exactly. And that's what's unique about the situation. And here's what gets even cooler about it is if you use the directions to answer questions. For example, can you, even if they can't spin it in a full circle, you could use, for example, well, you know, if you're a male, could you nudge it to the right? If you're a female, could you nudge it to the left or clockwise or counterclockwise? And explain that, obviously, before you start your session, but you could actually use it for intelligent responses as well. Just it's all about innovation, just really kind of, I mean, I don't know how much further we can really advance the field in 2017, you know, I mean, we can only come out with so much new stuff, but with new equipment and new technologies comes new ways for it to not be authentic, right? I mean, there's a lot of boxes coming out, this box and that box, and while that's great and I love that people are trying to invent things, for me, I kind of approach it with, well, how do I know that this, you know, actually works? Like, there's so many components that go into it. Like, it's not very simplistic. I'm all about the simplicity. I want to know, you know, I want there to be the least amount of stuff in it to make it more concrete. So when you got all these like new crazy cool boxes, they're cool, and I, you know, I like looking at and watching people use them, but to me it just screams more ways for something to be a false positive, right? I don't know, maybe that's just my take, but that's kind of how I view it.
No, it makes perfect sense. There's so many variables in the paranormal anyway. When you start looking at the audio, if you use too many pieces of equipment as opposed to a standard regular digital recorder, there's so many things that can go wrong. When you get into the EMF and the K meters and all the combinations of everything, there's so many things that can go wrong with that. If you simplify it, you don't have to worry about that.
Exactly. So, and that's why I think object movement and EVP are the best, most, you know, and obviously personal experiences, but you can't use that as evidence because, you know, I can't tell you, hey, my personal experience was factual, you know. So,
yeah.
But yeah, that's what I use. So,
well, a little bit of a brief pause. You've been listening to Tyler Feddersen, Paranormal Tyler, on Paranormal Truth and Reality. I'm your host, Christopher Houston. It's BBS Radio for all of you people that are out there. I just wanted to give congratulations to Brian, Kat, and Colin that recently found out that WCJV Radio is shutting down. They're wonderful radio hosts. I referred them to BBS Radio. Kat's actually going on a live radio station. So keep tuned for these guys because they're wonderful people and they're going to be back on the air in the future. I wish them the best. Haunted Hoorah in Ashley, Ohio, 3 East High Street, Ashley, Ohio, 43003 will be running their Will You Survive Haunted Experience and Military Transport September 22nd through October 29th. They have a Deadly Experience, which is the advanced experience. Tickets start at $20 and are sold at the same price all the way through closing. Closing runs at 12 o'clock midnight every single night throughout Friday, Saturday, and Sunday in the holidays. So if you're here in Ohio, I encourage you to take a look at that. Don't forget to stop by the Marengo Flea Market this weekend. There's another family fun day so that they can educate the children, actually have a little bit of fun, some bouncy houses, some free popcorn, slushies, and so forth. Again, you're listening to BBS Radio, Paranormal Truth and Reality. We're on the line with Tyler Feddersen and Paranormal Tyler. He's got a wonderful show on YouTube that we're going to get into here in a little while. Tyler, it's been a real pleasure talking to you so far. I know we've covered a lot of different things. Let's just get down to some nitty-gritty on some of the things that are easily debunked and get some opinions on what we all see. You mentioned some of that a little bit earlier with some of the pictures. I mean, it's pretty common out there to have somebody try to fool you with a picture. how do you feel about digital photography and the fact that a lot of people are in arguments about things like dust orbs and things along those lines?
Well, I think it just varies. Again, I mean, what's hard is you have personal belief systems, and when those are compromised by an outside individual, it becomes, contradictive towards, it creates arguments. So it's hard to tell somebody that, something you believe is not paranormal when they fully believe it is. So I think that the continuation of orbs and dust will be a lifelong battle, but my personal belief system, I think there are things you can capture, energies or ambiences or something that may now and then present themselves. But I would say, in my personal opinion, I think a lot of it is just purely explained away. And that's only from personal experience. I mean, there could be people out there who are capturing things that they cannot, prove or disprove. But for me, in my experience, when I see someone post a photo, I can easily take that photo and say, I've captured this exact same style of photo with dust or a bug. But I think it's, in my opinion, majority of it is something that can be easily explained away. But there is some interesting things out there that, who knows, it could be paranormal, it may not, but it's a tough category because you're compromising people's personal belief systems when you tell them it's not. So,
and that's a very good thing to bring up, actually. I mean, personal belief system is a very stern thing when you're dealing with the paranormal. You have the religious, you have the non-religious, you have the people that want to believe because of personal deaths that they've had with loved ones. You have people that have been looking their whole life and haven't found anything, so when they find something, they're proud of that. So it is very important for everybody to respect those personal beliefs. There's a way to present yourself and a way not to present yourself. And I think we run into a lot of that in the paranormal, especially when you get into social media. Things can be read the wrong way. They cannot be meant that way, and then people get offended by it. It's such a tricky thing when you're dealing with social media, especially when you're dealing with personal beliefs. So you kind of stated that right. And it's, you have to look at these things from the perception of the other person. I mean, outside of the fake photograph, when you know somebody's faking something, you just know it. When they take an app and throw a ghost in there, it's, come on, guys. You can do better than that. But when you're dealing with orbs, when you're dealing with mist, when you're dealing with things that can be explained. Now, I've been in the field. I've looked at a lot of different photographs. I've known a lot of photographers who do it on a regular basis. Yes, a lot of times you'll get dust. You'll get bugs. Digital cameras will pick it up. You'll have out of focus issues. You'll have questions. You'll have shadows. You'll have digital glitches. You'll have all kinds of things that happen. But nevertheless, there's a way to present that. You can tell them that if you want to, but if they solely still want to believe it's a ghost, we weren't there. So
exactly. And that's the other thing too, is that, taking into consideration personal accounts. I mean, if let's say they snapped a photo at the exact same time that, three or four people saw, let's say, an apparition, and they all know it was for sure an apparition that they saw, and then they capture some weird, thing on camera, and they present it to us, and I might say, I don't believe this to be paranormal. They may know something I don't, or maybe they had an encounter that I wasn't a part of that I can't replicate because I wasn't there. I can't pick up on that feeling that they had. So there's just too many variables. I used to be the type of person that, I kind of took pride in educating people on what's real and what's not. But I think at that point, it's really a waste of time to sit here and tell people what you think is not paranormal. It's not really educating. It's just disagreeing because you can't change someone's personal belief system. So I'm in the stance of right now, like if someone comes to me, I'll say, hey, in my personal opinion, this is what I think, but hey, I wasn't there, so who knows, and I just kind of leave it at that. That way kind of just sparks the general questioning in their own head. They say, well, he doesn't think it is paranormal, so maybe, I don't know, maybe let me research this a little bit more, and who knows, it's a tough field to be in because, you got religion, you've got to, kind of the things you were mentioning, personal belief systems, family deaths, all kinds of stuff. So it's a tough field to be in. But that's kind of my take on the whole orbs situation.
No, it makes perfect sense. And the ultimate thing is, we all know, if we've ever been out there, there are things that even we have caught that we can't explain away. Now, you end up with a photograph and you go, hey, there's something there. Now, a lot of times investigators will pitch the photograph because, hey, you know, I can't explain that as dust. But nevertheless, three or four of us were in a room. We heard something or we saw something that's just simply unexplainable. Didn't catch it on video, but we caught it nevertheless. We know it's there.
Yeah, exactly.
And when you do present that, I've had it happen to me. I've had other people have it happen to them, and we understand it. So a lot of times after you've done it for so many years, you just say, okay, well, I get it. I respect that opinion. But if you're somebody new to the field, that can really tear you down a notch or two.
Yeah, it can.
And that's something I think a lot of people don't understand, is passion starts in phases. Like you mentioned earlier, you used to be stern on wanting to educate people, but then you found out it's kind of an opinionated thing. Well, I've done that myself. You know, when I first got into real-time paranormal, which was my very first group before I ever did Paranormal Truth and Reality, I wanted to do it from the aspect of investigators so that we could educate further. The thing with education is you run into so many different opinions and so many different beliefs and so many different situations that sometimes – if you don't watch what you're doing, you're offending somebody, and you may very well ruin that passion that you started with.
Exactly. That's such a good perspective.
And of course, RTP is still running. Everybody's welcome to come on to it. But a lot of times, it's more theoretical science. It's more in-depth things in the paranormal to make people think. It doesn't personally attack anybody. It just says, hey, if you're going to consider this and you really get into it in the long run, you also have to consider quantum physics, zoology, geology, and all the other aspects that go into it. Because there's so many different things that go into the paranormal that it's just an amazing field. You get into it, you start looking for ghosts, and then you start thinking about some of these theories in quantum physics that might link. You start thinking about all of this over here, all of these technical things that you could spend a lifetime on.
Exactly. Agreed. It's crazy.
So let's talk a little bit about what your plans are in the future. I know you've recently went out on a couple of video shoots that you probably don't have up on YouTube quite yet. You're probably planning on going to several other sites. I don't know if you actually go to the conventions or not, but if you do, I know a lot of people would love to see you. So let's talk about your plans here in the future a little bit.
Yeah, it's interesting you ask about the conventions. I've actually been trying to get back into them, and it seems like when I was just, you know, part of a team during the days when I thought I was somebody, when I wasn't, I actually got more conventions now that I'm actually a somebody. And you know what I mean? It's an odd... I can't quite figure it out. The whole convention thing, I guess it's more intricate than I fully understood. I don't really get what qualifies someone as a guest speaker or not. But I'm always open. I would love to meet people. I would love to get out and share my opinions. But it's just, you know, I can't say I really have the time to fully delve in and discover what, you know, the intricacies are of how those systems work. As far as future plans, I mean, you know, if anyone is listening that would like me to guest, I would love to come out and meet you guys. So definitely, you know, get a hold of me. But as far as future plans, it's really just film. I mean, that's how, you know, the YouTubers make a living. You've got to film nonstop. And so that's really the only plans I have. It's just, I mean, I've got some cool stuff coming up. I'm trying to get back out to Idaho pretty soon. I've had a couple people ask me when I'm coming back. It should be pretty quick. I'm hoping before the end of the year I'll be back in Idaho. I was planning on going back out to Virginia City again, of course. And, you know, I've got some really cool stuff coming up. Some of it I don't want to share yet just because I want the element of surprise, and I think a lot of people are going to be really excited. We're going to be filming our Halloween special next week. There's a really cool location here in Utah that's been kind of expressing that, you know, they've had activity going on and kind of really, it's not that they didn't know where to go to find the investigation team. It's more or less that they were kind of, I guess, waiting for the right opportunity that they felt matched what they wanted. And coincidentally and luckily, that happens to be us. And they've given us permission to come film. So we're going to be doing our Halloween special there. And we've just uncovered some really just insane stuff about this location that I think people are going to be really pleasantly shocked at the dark, twisted history to this great location that's an iconic stamp here in Utah. I mean, if you live in Utah, you've heard of this place. And so that I can't even express how excited I am. So we're going to be starting. We start filming on Monday, and we should end by Friday. And so that's really, I mean, that's really what I've got going on. Nothing more than just filming. So, but I would love to add conventions to that list and whatever else, you know, other radio shows and stuff. So, yeah. Just busy working.
Well, you're always welcome if you come up here to Ohio to tag along with Paranormal Truth and Reality. And the next year, we're actually going to be at some locations doing live things. We would love to have guests like you and others just kind of pop in and say, hey, I'm here, and then get you on camera for a few minutes and let the people sign autographs. I've got my first one actually coming up this Halloween at the Marengo Schoolhouse. We do a lot of local things here in Ohio, a lot of small places, things along those lines. But that's always good because – let's face it, you can go to these big places like the Ohio Reformatory that Grant and Jason and everybody goes to, and they're wonderful to go to. If you ever have a chance to go meet any of these guys, they're great people. But ultimately, it's those small places and those local histories that's what keeps us going.
Oh, yeah. You know, that's awesome. Yeah.
So you're always welcome to do that. Let's talk a little bit about how hard it is to get into these locations. Because I know that a lot of paranormal investigators, including yourself, work sometimes weeks and months. There's a few that take years. How hard has it been for you to get into some of these locations, and how complex has it been once you've had a chance to get a hold of these people?
It's, oh man, you know, it's been difficult. It's odd. Some are that you would expect to be incredibly difficult are very easy, and then vice versa. I know I have a feeling I know where you're going with this one. Everyone wants to know, and I get asked every time that this is brought up, but everyone wants to know how I got into the Goldfields Hotel. That's always a topic. That still is one of the hardest locations to get into. It was luck mixed with timing mixed with just everything lined, the stars, moon, and the sun lined with the pyramids in Egypt, and just, you know, I mean, it just was timing and luck on our side, and who knows what else got us into there. But we did get in. We got permission from the owner. We got a personal tour of the location from the owner. It was brilliant. I think there is a chance with a good friend of mine, we may get in there one day again, hopefully. But it's, you know, it is difficult depending on the place. I mean, some places are really, really excited to have you come in. And I think, once I stepped up my production, I had a lot of people actually like wanting me in, which I was kind of shocked because when I first started YouTubing, it was very low level productions. And I was still trying to kind of figure out who I was as an editor, a producer, a director. And once I really kind of invested in the right equipment and like learned the right things, I actually did some online schooling and certified in like pre and post production, some other things. You know, I did a lot of like online classes and just really found myself and upped my production. Then I started realizing people wanted me in. And I don't know if that's because they wanted like their location featured or that, like, but it's just like people were like, yo, this is cool. Like, I want you in. And like, I just had actually location reach out recently. And it was like, yo, we heard you're like looking for spots to film. And like, we've seen your videos and like, we're wondering what it would take to get you to come here. And to me, that was like, that's like mind boggling, like to me to hear that, you know? So I was very shocked by that, and I'm very honored and humbled. So some locations are still hard and some are easy. It just really depends. But yeah, it's just kind of depends on the location, I guess. But you know, I do struggle sometimes booking some of these locations, so just sense.
Well, that's something for beginners to realize, and you've mentioned it several times as you do go through these phases so that you can learn. The more education that you learn about video production and how to put your particular style together, the better off you are. And as you do that, it starts to get recognized. Once listeners, you actually go and see some of Tyler's stuff, you'll understand what he's saying. But he's very professional the way he puts things together. The video edits obviously take time. He goes back and he does a good commentary on the videos. And this is all things that show. So it doesn't surprise me that once people start watching these, they go, hey, you know, this is professional grade. This could be on television.
That's what's crazy.
And a lot of your stuff can.
And it's humbling because I've always told my closest friends and my family, I've always told them, I said, if given the right equipment, I can make top-notch productions. It was a matter of I just did not have the right equipment. And so the last, you know, couple years, even since I started, I knew what I was capable of. I could just almost like feel it in myself. Like, I could do way more than this. I just don't have the right equipment. And I actually invested. I invested about $8,000 just even this last year into just stuff I needed. And that's really when my production went up a notch, is because I felt like the skill set was above what I was capable of doing with equipment. And so now you're just seeing, you know, I'm getting better and better too. And that's what's awesome. And we're, you know, I'm incredibly humbled by all these kind comments that are flooding in. And it's just happening so quick. It's so humbling to hear people say that the productions are good and. If listeners are out there, I guess a lot of people are comparing it to, like a television show. And so it's definitely a shorter version. And that's something we're working on. I'm sure that people will probably ask that, you know, we want longer videos. And right now I'm keeping them about, you know, 12 to 15 minutes is my target range, just because the production is so heavy and it does take me like ridiculously long, like you would not imagine. Like it's a full-time thing. A 12-minute video takes me sometimes 2 days to complete of literally 12-hour days. So as soon as I figure out a good system to produce these longer videos without me being a zombie and working like 48 hours without a break, then I'll put out these longer videos. But I hope everyone enjoys them. And, you know, it's just, it's so much fun, and I love putting them out there. So anytime anyone compliments like that their TV quality, that to me is just like mind-boggling. I'm just incredibly grateful. So thank you.
I had a friend of mine, Peter Sacco. I don't talk to him that much, but I have interviewed him a couple of times. He did a show in Canada, and he's producing his own show over YouTube right now himself that a lot of the fans from Canada and America decided to start watching. And he did a lot of the similar to you. When he first started, he was – you know, we got to put this together. One of the things that he told me is eventually, once you get to a certain point and you got it down, when you start getting into these 1 hour videos, hour and a half and so forth, you start realizing, hey, I can't do it on my own. And then is when you have a lot of other people jump in and so forth, and you get sponsors. So I think you're on the road to success. You're just at that point to where people are recognizing you. Eventually, you'll probably end up with some sponsors. You'll probably work with other team members and other people that work in the same concept that you do and the same idealism that you do, and kind of take it from there. With that spoken, I know that we're getting down to the last 10 minutes, but let's talk a little bit about some of your associates to tag along with you from time to time. You mentioned one of them earlier. A lot of the people that are with you do have their own YouTube stuff too. So let's talk about your associate team members to tag along sometimes so that we can kind of get their names out there, and then we'll start talking about your website as well.
Wonderful. I've got, just the best team surrounding me right now. It's been such a wild ride because I went from such a large team last year to hardly anybody this year. And I've lost some really good friends, quite honestly. So those who are still with me and surround me are so incredibly close to me that I consider them family. Jeff, of course, Jeff has been with me for so long. He's absolutely down to do anything, anytime, anywhere. He realizes the importance of sacrifice, that, you know, to win, you have to sacrifice. and so he's such a key player. Jeff, I wouldn't be much further than I am without Jeff. I mean, he's an awesome dude, and he's doing a lot of he's kind of started up a channel called Guns and Ghosts, and it's basically he's a huge gun guy. If you ever get the chance to meet Jeff in person, if you don't hear him mention guns at least once in your conversation, he's probably having a bad day. That's how upset he is with guns. So he started a channel that's kind of, he'll upload clips of him at the range, and then there's also like ghostly clips. So it's just kind of a good combination for him of his two passions, ghosts and guns. And then we've got Trey. Trey's actually predates anything paranormal. Trey has been a friend of mine personally for almost two decades now, and you know, it's absurd because we actually at one point lived in the same apartment complex and had no idea that each other were into paranormal. We knew each other on a different friend level, but I was out there doing all these ghost tours, actually having meet and greets at my apartment complex in the lobby where everyone would meet, and then we'd all drive up to these locations, and Trey was like right there and had no idea. It's absolutely crazy. But we ended up connecting paths on the paranormal level, and he was like, whoa, you did this? I'm like, yeah, you didn't know. And he's like, no. And we ended up just, you know, meshing from there. And he's been with me for a long time too. Trey's just, he's one of the most loyal people imaginable. And just like his friendship to me is so important. These people are just key players in, you know, keeping me level headed, because it does get stressful and there's a lot of stuff that takes place, a lot of components, a lot of wheels and gears grinding behind the scenes. And these guys, they're the water to my fire. You know, they kind of help bring me down when I get up there. And we just work so well together. And there are a couple people that were on my team that have kind of stepped aside right now, and they're just kind of taking some personal time. There's others that just kind of went other ways. There's others that, of course, there's disagreements. But it's just really, I'm really super happy with where we're at now. So yeah, that's my team. And we do have, by the way, Trey's girlfriend, Riley. She does some photography work for us from time to time. She's awesome. She's got an Instagram page, and we've got, Jeff's wife who does some photography from us from time to time too. So.
Well, let's talk about your website a little bit. Go ahead and tell us where we can find you and your Facebook page, and you can feel free to include some of the other websites from your associates as well, and that way the listeners will know where to find you, and hopefully we'll be able to kind of boost the watches for you a little bit.
Wonderful. So, obviously, YouTube, Paranormal Prophecy is my main channel. That's where you're going to find all of my ghost videos, just hardcore ghost videos. I do have a second channel called Paranormal Tyler, which is where you're going to find all my extra footage. You're going to find vlogs, funny clips, behind the scenes, random stuff. Kind of gives you a personal view into my life a little bit behind the scenes. I'm a huge social media junkie. I rarely use Facebook anymore. In fact, hardly ever. I actually deactivated it and then reactivated it just for this show. That's how little I use it. I knew this show was coming up, and so I reactivated it just so people could share and talk about it. But I don't like Facebook. I think the algorithms are whack on it. So you can find me usually on Twitter or Instagram, Paranormal Tyler on both of those. Easy to find me. I love interacting with people. I have so much fun with it, you know, posting GIF wars and just, I love interacting with people. So hit me up on my social medias. Paranormal Tyler is pretty much where you can find me all across the board. And then Paranormal Prophecy is my YouTube channel. So.
And it's amazing, listeners, to actually look at a lot of his stuff. So I do encourage you to do that. I've been following him on Twitter for, well, oh gosh, I don't know, since I started Twitter. I think that was about a year and a half ago. So. So I certainly appreciate you coming on the show. I think it's wonderful to promote you a little bit. I think you've got some very good talent, you and all of your friends that you're doing the videos with. They do a wonderful job. You do an absolutely wonderful job. Next week, we actually are going to have, listeners, somebody from overseas. It's going to be a paranormal team. They're going to be looking at the alternate view of the paranormal. We don't often get to see here in the United States how different countries view paranormal investigation and their traditions and so forth. So it's going to be a very interesting show. This has been BBS Radio. You're speaking with Tyler Fetterson, which is Paranormal Tyler. He's just discussed how to find a lot of his stuff. I do encourage you to actually stay tuned with Tyler. Don't be surprised somewhere along the line if he and his team actually get offered a television show, because they're very, very talented. So I think they have an incredible future in front of them. Tyler, do you have anything here in the last few minutes that you want to talk to the listeners about?
Just want to thank, you know, you for having me on. It's been a pleasure. I get a lot of offers to do these radio shows, and yours really stands out through your professionalism. I really like the way that you do things. And thank you to all of your listeners for taking the time out of your day to come and listen to me blurb about my life adventures. I think that's just amazing. And, you know, thank you to everybody.
Well, we certainly appreciate you coming on. You're always welcome to come back on. If you have any special events or if you just want to talk about the show, feel free to message me at any time. It's been an absolute delight. I will let the listeners off and Tyler off so he can enjoy his weekend and get some of the editing done with the same famous quote that you hear in Paranormal Truth and Reality all of the time. And that is, remember, as you've learned today in the paranormal, the truth should always be the reality around you. And keep that in your mind the next time that you actually watch a YouTube channel, a television show, and so forth, because these people are actually real people. And as real people, they deserve the respect that they earn in the hard work that they've done. We'll let you go. It's been a real pleasure. Have a very good night, and we'll talk to you next Friday.
Thanks so much. See you later.